we're gonna read from Quran, this chapter Al-Fatiha again, and a few verse, the first verse from the second chapter, Surah Al-Baqarah, and then the last four verses from the Quran, the last four short surahs with the Qul surahs. And remembering that what we have been discussing so far and what we will be discussing for the rest of this Ramadan session with you is the Quran and Muhammad, the universal message and mission, Islam's universality, our universal message of Islam, and its mission. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألف لام ميم. ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه هدى للمتقين الذين يؤمنون بالغيب ويقيمون الصلاة ومما رزقناهم ينفقون والذين يؤمنون بما أنزل إليك وما أنزل من قبلك وبالآخرة هم يوقنون أولئك على هدى من ربهم وأولئك هم المفلحون. صدق الله العظيم. These verses we just read are five in number. And it began with Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, and then the mystical letters Alif Lam Mim, and then the statement, this book, or this is the book, or that is the book, where Dalika could be, what is translated, this is the book in which there is no doubt, guidance for the God fearing, for those having taqwa, the muttaqin, those who believe without proof, are those who believe in the unseen. They believe bil ghaib, means in the absence of proof. If you are absent from this meeting here, we say, and we were expecting you, we say, hu ghaib, he's absent. Those who believe in the unseen are those who believe in the absence of truth. Truth is not there, but they still believe. The proof is not with them, but they still believe. And they establish prayer, regular prayer, and they spend in charity out of what God provides, have given them. And these are the ones who believe in what has been revealed to Muhammad, Ilayka means to Muhammad, Prophet, peace be upon him, and what was revealed before him, before he received revelation, that is, before his time. And in the hereafter, or in the latter, simply the latter, the former and the latter, and in the latter, they are assured. They are assured. They are assured the hereafter, or the latter, the end, the destiny, or the destination. These are the ones on guidance from their Lord. So this is guidance from their Lord. These are the ones on guidance from their Lord. That means this is certainly revelation. They are the ones who are following the revelation, the real revelation. It's not lost, it's not mixed, it's not confused. It hasn't been adulterated. They are following the revelation from their Lord, guidance from their Lord that comes in the revelation from their Lord. And their Lord, remember what we said of this Rabb before? Their Lord is the one who brought about their existence and then gave his creation support so that it would reach its maturity. For a man, full adulthood. For a man, for a woman, same, full adulthood with all the faculties and everything else. Intelligence, speech, everything. He's the one that nursed them along till they reached firmhood and going to the responsibilities until they knew what their responsibilities were. Like a parent raised us. Parent raised us not only to have a healthy life as an individual, but the parents raise us to have a healthy life in community, so that we know our obligations to our family and to our society, so that we'll fit in that society and have a comfortable place there. So that's what Allah does for us too. It's Allah who did that for us first, really. And in the best way, civilization. Allah guided us to true civilization so that we'll have a good individual life and a good life in society, be established in society. Just like a parent raised a child. That's how God has raised the whole humanity. Mm-hmm. And is still caring for us and raising us. So these are the ones that the translation says on true guidance from their Lord. And these are the ones who are successful. These are the ones who are successful. And God says, and he created us, made us like a plant, right? So many, this is a big subject in itself too. So much is in that statement about created like a plant. But the main thing we should know is that most plants try to grow up right. There's some creepy crawly ones, but most of them try to grow up right. And even the flimsy ones, they look for something to support them. They want to grow up right, too. The vines, if you give them something, they'll crawl up on something more firm, more steady than they are. They want to grow up right. for the plant is rooted in the ground. Plant is rooted in the earth. It's rooted in the matter that birthed it. The matter from which it is born out of. It is rooted in that matter. Mm-hmm. And it establishes itself upon the roots or the life that is in the ground, covered and hid. And that's where it establishes life upon that. And so it is with us. God says he put us in the earth from the heavens. We were heavenly bodies, and God put us in the earth. Heavenly bodies, that is, we're universal. They're what they would call the cosmic beings. We have been created to live not only in the earth, but in the total world. So originally God made the human being soul in heaven, meaning that he made the human being soul and intellect to live in the wide borders of the whole creation itself. How are we going to do that? Our minds can't help but go outward. If you have a mind, your mind goes out to everything that you can see, or everything that you can imagine even, not only see, but what you imagine based upon what you see, your mind goes out. Give the man a telescope, his mind goes out further. And if he's intelligent and can reason, his reasoning will take him out beyond even the telescope to have some perception or some idea of what's beyond, even his eyesight, you see? So God created the brain, the human being's brain, with wings that fly much higher and much further than the eagle. Yes. So he really created us in heaven, didn't he? And the Quran gives that, Allah gives it in the Quran. He says, and the space of that garden where we will go, Garden of Paradise, it is as the space of the heavens and the earth. That's the order. That's the cosmic order. Mm-hmm. So these are the ones who will be successful. So we can have short-lived success, you know. Nations born like communist Russia tried materialism and ignored the existence of God. I don't say they didn't believe in the existence of God, but for the success of their materialism-based idea of existence, they left out God. And survived for only about 70 years and have come to a death, a demise. Mm-hmm. And they may try something else later. Who knows where they'll go? I hope they'll go to heaven. To get there, they have to follow this deen, the path of God. They are the successful ones. Look at the word for success. Muflihun. Humul muflihun. They are the successful ones. And where does this word go back? Where does this meaning derive? How does this meaning come to us? From the farmer. The falah, the farmer. He's the one who cultivates the land. If you study Judaism and some other religions, even Asian religions, most of them go back to agriculture. They go back to the time of the man, the society as an agriculture-based society. And really it's only recently that community of man on earth has stopped to be an agriculture-based society, based now in industry, science, technology, etc. But used to be for long, all the time of our existence almost, we have been an agricultural culture-based. And technically speaking, we're still an agriculture-based society. Because most of these other things that we have, they couldn't be produced without agriculture supporting them. Mm-hmm. They are the successful ones. And that growth is out of the earth. Agriculture is a growth out of the earth. They are the successful ones. Growth out of the earth is intended to take our minds back to our beginning in this material scheme created by God. So we are not a creation formed and established in space. We are a creation formed out of the material body of the world, and established upon that because of our natural growth as part and parcel of the creation itself. We are creation. We are this material world. That's what we are. And it is God who put his life, his will, and his light into the body and makes it possible for us to have more freedom, more mobility, and more production than everything, all the other things he created, all the other creatures he made. We created for great production. And in the world, for agriculture, a very productive entity. It bears life, many kinds. The Quran, Allah said in the Quran, so many different kinds, you can't number them. Too many to number. Great variety of things. And it gives the living more than the living needs. So it's a sign, too, of charity, isn't it? A sign of great charity. And Allah says, and he gives without counting. God gives you without counting. Now, you know Allah can count everything. But he gives without counting. And some of us are very generous. We are charitable. We give with our hearts, not with our brain. We can count the money. But we don't count. We just reach in our pocket. Here, take this. I've seen you do that, brother. Say, here, take this. They didn't count. Praise be to Allah. They are the successful ones. So success, real success, in order for it not to be a short-term success, the real success for the destination that God intends for his living creatures, the real success is that we be in accord with the plan for our life, firstly in creation and then in revelation. Inherent life and then the guided life. We must be in accord. And the inherent life and the inherent life and the guided life, they are compatible. Not more than compatible. They are a continuation. The guided life is a continuation on the inherent life, or the life that's in the matter itself, the life pattern that's in the matter itself. That life pattern is aided by revelation, and then revelation continues the growth in agreement with the inherent life. So this is the unity of God's creation, the unity of matter, the unity of God's creation. Now let's go to the last four chapters. So, what is said so far is said to every man, right? Said to every man equally. Nothing we've said is black or white or yellow or red. It's equally the property and equally the concern and interest of every man. The first kul, is in the surah Al-Kafirun, which means the rejecters of faith, those who reject faith, Al-Kafirun, those who reject faith. Who was the first of the Kafiruns, the first to reject faith? Iblis. Yes, Iblis. He felt self-important. became puffed up with pride. He felt that he was too big to submit. And he needed faith to submit. He didn't accept anything but logic. That's why we stone him. He accepts no faith. He accepts nothing but logic. So since he couldn't accept faith, he became the first rejecter of faith, first disbeliever, and the one to envy the people of faith. And I think, you know what I think irks him more than anything else? Is that we don't need a lot to believe in God. We don't need a lot. You know, we don't have to have revelation even, you know. Just our life, and we know that we didn't do it ourselves, that we can't take care of ourselves, we didn't put ourselves here, and we can't keep ourselves here. Just that alone. We know we're dependent on so many things, and we know there's a God. We know there's a God. And he just is irked to his death almost to see us like that. So what's wrong with those fools? They have no proof. They have nothing. Talk about that as a God. So, okay, I'll get them. I'm going to capture them. I'll become their master, and they won't even know it. They'll think they're worshiping God, and I'll be the one that they'll be worshiping. So he sought to put himself in God's place. This is scripture. And he managed to do that with many people. He managed to do that. In their hearts, they're still worshiping God. But in language, they are worshiping the devil and don't know it. It begins with first verse after Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Yes, for those who came later today and then were not with us for comments on the Al-Fatiha, Al-Fatiha, the first verse is Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. But for the other chapters, the first verse is not. The Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim of Al-Fatiha opens the other chapters. Isn't that something to think about? Al-Fatiha, we mentioned Al-Fatiha as being the opening, being a victory. Because the mighty victory is the opening of the knowledge, revelation, the opening of the life. And it suggests also key. Miftah is a key from the same word, from the same root word, Fatiha. Fatiha something, and then you get Al-Fatiha, the one that's doing, the thing that's doing the opening. And Miftah is a common term for key. But if the Al-Fatiha is the one thing that's doing the opening, then isn't Fatiha, by that reasoning, the key? Think about it. So if it's the key, then you can understand too why it's before every other chapter, right? Except one, and then it's mentioned in that chapter, in the message of Solomon, huh? Suleiman is given that he sent his letter, and his letter read Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. So it still is there. It still is there for the ninth chapter. It still is there. Say, all you rejecters of faith or disbelievers, I do not worship what you worship, or what you are worshiping, or what you worship. Yes, what you worship. I do not wish what you worship. I do not worship what you worship. And the word worship, you know, comes from servant, and before Islam it meant slave. But now in the text of the Quran it does not mean slave. It means servant. Yes. But in the language of the society, it still means slave. Opt is still slave. Servant and slave means both. Opt still means servant, slave, and also means servant. God wants us to know that we are not to give our life to any master except him. That's what it means. You don't give your life. You give service, but not your life. You don't give your life to any master except God. Nothing but God should determine the limits of your thinking, the limits of your movements, the limits of your work. Mm-mm. No one but God should. And God has not restricted us so that we are tillers of the soil, or domestic servants for all our life. You know, that's the slave masters. Yeah, they hire you and they do that for the rest of your life. And many times your children are restricted to that level in the society for their life, for generation after generation, like plantation slavery was, you know. The choice of this term, slave, is powerful, in my opinion, it's very powerful. It's very powerful for peacefully doing away with slavery. Without war, peacefully doing away with slavery. Because the master feels awful shame when he's saying to Allah, God, I'm your abd. And he, Allah, saying, oh people, oh mankind, you are my abd. And then he got one, he's claiming, he said, this is my abd. So Prophet Muhammad is in the hadith. Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, don't say to anyone, slave, this is my abd. He said, but say, my son. He meant if you got someone in your charge that you want to have that kind of possession over, and that person have given you, have accepted that, to be that to you, have accepted that position under you, then you should treat them as you treat your own son. That's what it means. You should treat them as you treat your own son. And you shouldn't call him slave, but call him my son. Waladi, he said, according to Hadith and Bukhari and Muslim, they call him Waladi, my son. And, you know, the white man called us his boy, didn't he? I don't know who started him to do that. I believe somebody read the Quran, you know. But he didn't have the civilization to know how to relate to that. He sure wasn't his son. But in Arabic language, walid means son too. That only being boy. It means son. It means son, not just boy, my son. And we used to have an expression that says, the white man say, I don't call you son because you mine. I call you son because you shine. So this word is powerful. Powerful for helping to bring about justice, social justice, and equality for the people. This term, abd. And God says that that's the best. Well, he didn't say it directly, but we know that learned in the tradition of our prophet, in the sunnah of our prophet, following the sunnah of our prophet, they say that there's no name or title for man more dignified, more noble, or higher in its meaning or in its value than the term abd, the abd of God. The abd of God. And God referred to Muhammad as his son. As his abd. As his abd. And he says to all of us that we all of his abd. He said, yeah, ibadullah. Means females and males. That expression addresses both females and males. Yeah, ibadullah. Oh, my servants, speaking to all human beings. Ya ibadullah. So if we are his servants, and the root mean, the history of the word takes us back to its meaning as slave, then God is saying that no one can have you as a slave. That's what he's saying. He's possessed us. He claimed us. And no one else can have us as a slave. As a slave. And the hadith in the Muhammad said that we should know that nothing separates a servant from his master. Not even a veil or partition thin like a veil. There's nothing. He can call directly on his God. Needs no mediator, no intercessor, no priest, no monk, no imam, no rabbi. No, he doesn't need anybody. He calls directly to his God. And isn't that the way it's supposed to be? If God created me without you, how come I got to call him through you? I really like the words that Abraham gave. I'm pretty sure it was Abraham, probably Abraham, yeah. He told the big ruler, he said, the one who created me shall guide me. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Alladhi khalaqani sayahdini. The one who created me shall guide me. And that's a good way to see, get another look at Abraham, to see him a little clearer. The one who created me shall guide me. So where is the guidance? It's in creation. The guidance is in the creation. The guidance for any form of life is in its created body. Is that not right? Science gets the guidance for treating all forms of life from the study of that form of life. The guidance is in its creation, is in its form. That's where the guidance is. That's why just anybody can't be a doctor. You can't guess at the treatment. It's scientific. The guidance is in the created thing. So that's what Abraham was telling this arrogant ruler. You think you know everything, but no. You're ignorant. Yeah. You're following guesswork. You're nothing but an advanced, wealthy witch doctor. Yeah, I'm coming with the truth. You got false magic. And I'm coming with the truth. The one who created me shall guide me. And that's the meaning of Khalaqa fasawwa qaddara fahada. In four steps. Khalaqa fasawwa qaddara fahada. He created, then he balanced everything. That's laws. If things are balanced, that means laws are governed. They're governed. These things are governed by laws. Qaddara, then he empowered the intellect. That's talking about the intellect. But the same thing happens with creation itself. God has created matter so that it comes willingly or unwillingly to the order that God intends for it. So if it is not in agreement, then there's a strain in the matter to conform to the law intended for that matter. It might explode and then find its adjustment. Or it might, by some other activity, come to its adjustment. But it's going to come to its adjustment. Because Allah has created it all for peace. So it has to have its peace. So for the intellect straining for the guidance, the intellect strains and strains and strains with issues that the intellect wants to see in some kind of rational order or agreement. And the intellect strains and strains and strains. That's qadra. That's qadra. And after a while, it comes. The light comes on. It happens. And the intellect knows this is the answer. This is how this is supposed to be settled. Or this is how this is supposed to be stated or composed, etc. And with that is the guidance, right? Then there's the guidance now, the guidance. And the intellect will keep working with it after the light has been turned on in a mysterious way, intuitive, intuition, cognition, intuition, etc. So the light is on now, so the intellect began to work on what it saw. Now, those who won't follow revelation, and they follow nothing but the intuitive light, they are those who wait for the thunder and the lightning. And when the lightning flashes, they walk a little bit. And it goes off, and they're at a standstill. The same God that gave you the intuitive powers also gives you revelation. So don't be satisfied with just that. Still seek God. And in time, he'll give you revelation, the revealed knowledge. Mm-hmm. That came to the prophets, as we know. Yes. Say to the rejecters of faith, I do not worship what you worship. You do not worship. And you are not worshiping what I worship. You're not worshiping what I worship. And I am not worshiping what you worship. Or I am not worshiping what you are set upon worshiping. It's a little stronger here. And I am not worshiping upon that you have worshiped or that you have that you are set upon worshiping. You see? And you are not worshiping what I worship. So for you, your way, your deen, and for me, my deen. And you notice that my deen has not the possessive ye on it, e. It just have the kesser. Why? Because this is not an individual religion. This is the universal religion. This is the religion of mankind. So it's not nice for us to say, in this particular discussion with the rejectors, it's not right for us to say, my religion with some kind of special pride or some kind of special sense of possession. No. It's the religion of mankind. So play down your possession of it. Don't put the long E, just put a little kasra. Don't say my. Say my real quick and keep going. It's in my religion. Like 12 people say, my God. That's too long. It ain't just your God. Our God. The next verse with the kul. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. The first verse is kul hu Allahu ahad. Say, he, the God, is one. Allahu samad. The God is eternal. Lam yalid. He was not the father. He did not father a son. Wa lam yulad. And he's not fathered by any. وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ And there never existed for him كُفُوًا أَحَد An equal or comparison. There are no comparison for God. Isn't that what the Old Testament said? Make no likeness of him in the heavens or in the earth. So there's no comparison There's no comparison. Kufuwan means that nothing serves as a just description or comparison for God. That's what it means. Nothing measures up. Nothing measures up. Everything falls short of being a description or a comparison for God. Then we want to say, what is God? Man, no, nothing. Sun, no, nothing. The whole universe, nothing. Because we know in the Bible of Solomon, when he was building the temple, he said, God, I'm building this house for you, but I know this house can't contain you. Now listen to what he said. He said, not even the heavens of heavens can contain you. He means, as far as we can imagine, this creation, this world existing, is not big enough to contain you. So is Allahu Akbar, is that a new expression? Is that something invented? We said earlier, Muhammad said, was told to say by God, say to them, I bring no newly fabricated message. That means nothing in the Quran is new. It all has a connection and a reference to that came before, to something that came before. But the way it's put together, it advances the life of the past. It advances the world of yesterday. It extends it and guides it on to where it should go for God, to its destination. Okay, so much for that chapter. The next one. It begins too with Qul. First verse. Qul a'udhu bi rabbil falaq. Can all people say these prayers? These are really prayers, aren't they?
Yes.
The whole book is a prayer. The whole Fatiha is really a prayer. But I seek refuge. This is asking for help. Anyone can say these prayers. The universal. I'm pointing to the universality of Islam, of the Quran, the Word of God, and the Sunnah or the Uswa of the Prophet Muhammad. From the harm, they say evil, but actually it means harm. Shar is harm. That benefits, nafi. That harms, shar. That takes away from the value, the quality, whatever, shar. That hurts it is shar. It's evil, but more than evil, it's harm. Evil suggests an intent on something's part, right? On some creature's part, evil. But there is no intent in matter to hurt us. God created matter to serve us well. He didn't create anything to hurt us. He created his whole world, fire. But he didn't create fire to hurt us. He created fire to comfort us. Fire to aid us and comfort us, not to hurt us. But many people get the shudder of the fire. They get the shudder of the fire. It's not because God intended to do that way. No, he didn't intend any shudder. That's why God says, it is not God who harms you, it is you who harm your own soul. Sometimes in ignorance, complete ignorance, we just don't know the proper use, the proper approach to things, etc. So we get the harm of it instead of the intent that God, what God intended for us, the benefit, not the harm. He intends nothing but good. Muhammad says God is good and he accepts only good. Allahu tayyib. Allahu tayyibun. Wa la yaqbalu illa tayyiba. God is all good and he accepts only good. Say, I seek Lord refuge with the Lord of the dawn or the daybreak. From the harm of what was created. We could say from the harm of what he created. Khalaqa. He created. Khalaqa. So there's a harm in everything, isn't it? There's a benefit and a harm in everything. They say even this water that we think is harmless, I mean, I'm not talking about this, if there's pollution in it. The pure water that everybody thinks is harmless. You can get a sickness and even the water will have to take it off your list. They had to give it to you some other way. Right? Yeah, that's sickness. If the doctor will take you off with water, you can't take the water directly. You have to take the water some other kind of way, in food or something, or through the veins. Can't drink it. So everything that has a benefit also has a harm. And when the prophet told the followers that there was a reward for sex, for sexual experience, for the sexual act, he said there's a reward in it. And I guess he said it to wake up their minds to a problem that they had. And the problem comes from people who react to things rather than respond to things. Respond means your senses are working. React doesn't necessarily mean your good senses are working. So people that react to things. So over the years, you know, having such problems with sex and illegitimate births and all that, and loss of wives and everything, you know, for man in his culture makes sex a dirty thing, a sin. You know, that dirty sex, that's sin. He keeps sinning, though. He doesn't stop. That dirty sex. That dirty sex. That's. So they say, how is this? He said, if you did it unlawful, wouldn't there be a punishment? The sharr and the khayr. In everything. And God has qadara. Mm-hmm. He has set the balance. He has set the balance for this good and evil. He has put it in a balance. And if you respect the balance, you get the good. If you disrespect the balance, you get the harm. Or the measure. Some of them translated measure. It's a difficult word to translate, qadar. It means God has, in creating it, he has already set the rules for governing this thing. He has already set the rules. The rules are set by God before we were even created, set in the matter itself. He has set the rules. He has determined how the creation will yield benefits and goodness, and how it will cause harm or bring harm, a loss. It's all set by God, been determined by him in the making of the things, the creation itself, or the creature itself, if his or herself. From the harm of the evil, vasikhin, I mean, they translate intense darkness, either waqab. But this vasikhin is not only intense darkness, it is also intense corruption. It is a darkness that also suggests or hints at filth, corruption, offensive things to the good taste of human beings and society and civilized society when it comes. And we know that with darkness come also corruption. With ignorance come also the corruption of morals, the corruption of the culture and the life. From intense darkness when it comes, that's how it's translated by one translator, and from the harm of the nafathati, wa min sharrin nafathati. Actually, it's nafathati. Min sharrin nafathati. Fil uqad. And they translated too literally, one translation. From the evil of the whisperer, who whispers or blows into the knot. So this sounds like witchcraft. Which it is, has a reference to witchcraft. But let's get the better understanding. As one commentary gives, and I think one translation gives too, from the harm or the evil of the one who casts suggestions, evil suggestions, into your firm resolutions to break the tie of your conviction or your resolution. You have resolved to obey God. You have resolved to stay away from this harm, this forbidden thing. And then here comes the caster of suggestions, the sneaky caster of suggestions. He cast a suggestion without you knowing what he have cast. Before you know it, he's got you in trouble. His language was so smooth, so subtle, that you thought he was a good advisor. Yeah. So you accept what he said, and pretty soon you find yourself breaking the law. You wake up one morning and say, good God, I'd have broke all the laws of God. I didn't know I had slipped into this kind of thinking. So the okat here is from okada, means a knot. And this okat is firm conviction. Your resolutions are firm convictions. Wa min sharri hasidin idha hasad. And from the harm or the evil of the envier when he envied. These are prayers. They're chapters, but also prayers. And I would advise you to pray these. Yes, this world is too much for us. We can't manage it. But God will help us manage it. And his help is the help. And the help that he gives is the help. That's what I mean. And the last one. All this is universal. Every society has come under the influence or been tempted by the Satan. And every society has had its magic, its witchcraft. Say I seek kule a'udhu bi rabbin nas. Say, I seek refuge with the Lord of humanity, or the Lord of mankind, all people. Now, you see, everyone of these verses, we are directing our attention, calling on God himself, directly to God, right? Turning directly to God. And to be not of the kafirs, the rejecters of faith, to be not of the shirk, the people who have shirk, the polytheists, declaring the oneness of God, and here to have protection from the Lord of the dawn, from the Lord of the dawn. And we know this is daybreak, light. I seek refuge with the Lord of the light. There's the Lord of the light. It's not just light created, but there's the Lord of the light. The creator of the light and then the Lord of the light. Or the one who started the light, Jala. The one who started the light and the Lord of the light. The one who caused light to be, he's also the Lord of the light. He is the one to progress that light. He's the one to take that light from beginning to end, stage by stage progression for the light. Now, if something interrupts that order and brings about darkness or confusion in the progression of light, I should turn to the one who started the light in the first place. because he's also the Lord of life. From the evil of the tense darkness when it comes. We mentioned earlier the Bible saying that there would be a famine of hearing the word of God. It said not a famine of food, but a famine of hearing the word of God. And the Bible also says that darkness would cover the whole earth. Darkness would cover the whole earth. Now, say I seek refuge with the Lord of humanity, or the Lord of mankind, that is the Lord of all people. And Nas means, simply means people. Used all the time, the common uses of this word, Nas, means the people, all people. Say I seek refuge with the Lord of all people, or the Lord of mankind, or the Lord of humanity. Lord of mankind is more better, because humanity refers to humanity, people refined, or people in accord with their best motivations, people who are living in accord with their best motivations, their excellence, their inherent excellence. That's what it meant. So it's not all people, humanity, not necessarily all people. All people have been created to have the gift of humanity, but it doesn't mean that they all have it, because they don't not awaken to it, or either they just don't accept it. But this is all people. All people. So I want to correct myself. This is not all them humanity. It's all people. All mankind. The king, or the judge of mankind, Malik. The king, or the master, or judge of mankind. The God of mankind. The God of mankind. Now look how this progression goes. First, the Lord of mankind. Number one. And the Lord, we say, is the one who takes what he has brought into existence and then cares for it like a good parent until it reaches its adulthood, its maturity, and can go on its own. Oh, God will never leave us on his own. Yes, according to the Hadith, he will. It says a servant kept returning to God. After every time he did something wrong, that servant kept coming back to God asking for forgiveness. So it made that such a consistent practice. So God knew that that servant had formed a habit that was his nature, had become his nature. So God said, go on, like the judge said, on your own reconnaissance. Trusted him with his own life. That's what God's saying. He had created you to be trusted with your own life. But you have to earn it. You have to earn that kind of trust. So God is the Lord of all people. And because he has brought all people into existence, and he's the one that has cared for their progress or maturity, then doesn't it reason then that only he can judge his creation? He's the king. He's the master. He's the judge. First. And then, if he's the judge and the master, and he's also the Rabb who brought you into existence and cared for you, then shouldn't he alone be the one you worship? If you make any of God, shouldn't it be that one? No one but that one. So the Elohim, the God of mankind. And then, min sharril waswasil khannas, from the harm of the whisperer, who whispers behind the partition. You don't see him. You only got the whisper. You don't know where it came from. One translator says, he whispered and it withdraws out of your reach, out of your perception. Withdraws. الَّذِي يُوَسْوِسُ فِي صُدُورِ النَّاسِ, the one who casts these evil, subtle suggestions into the hearts of the people. Into the hearts of the people. Now, isn't that what he did when he tempted Adam? He didn't go to Adam's rational mind. He went to his heart. He made him feel that he was left out, that he had been left out of something that he was supposed to be included in. And there were some other beings that had that, what he was missing. And don't you know God and the angels up there eating this stuff? This is food for the gods, man. Saying, really, you don't understand God. I do. Now, he didn't mean you would die. He meant your eyes were going to come open. So Adam listened to that, and his heart said, well, hey, I've been shortchanged. And I sure want my eyes open. That's me. I'm the man that want to see. Adam had an intellect. Intellect par excellence. And he wants to see, you know. So he said, okay, rap on. Who are you? I'm your innocent advisor. Now, where do we find this whisperer now, this suggester? Where do we find him? Among jinn and among men. He didn't say go looking for him in the woods, back in the backwoods. He didn't say looking for him in the neither world. He's among people, among jinn and people. Now, if you don't know about jinn, look for him among people. If the jinn is too much of a mystery for you, look for that word, Iblis, among people. Because he's among both. Sadaqallah al-Azim. And these four quls, they are our protection to keep us from being taken out of Tawheed. Out of the universal picture and out of the universal constitution of things. The constitution, things are constituted regionally, but the bigger constitution is the universal constitution of things. Matter, life, and man, the intellect, for all of it. So to keep the void coming out of the path of God, out of the Tawheed that God wants us in, then we should say these prayers and say them for your salvation. Say them for your security, your protection, your salvation. And it's no wonder that they're at the end of the Quran. Now we know that in the order that the revelation descended upon the heart of Muhammad the Prophet, the first verse is read. And then we have these verses coming early. Early Meccan verses and Medina verses coming early. But in the order that we have to read the Quran, and know this, that this didn't come after Muhammad, as some writers have said, that the ordering of the chapters came after Prophet Muhammad. No. Muhammad never recited the Quran any other way than this. This is the only way he ever recited. And one night he recited the whole Quran in Ramadan. This is in the reported. That he recited the whole Quran in one night, one standing, in Ramadan, in the month of Ramadan. Yes. And he recited it just as we read it. Right? This is the order. God showed him the order. And he left it with the followers, with his disciples. So, I say again, there's no wonder that these verses come at the end. All that is in the Quran has some reference to the scriptures that came before the Quran. The revelation, the last book of the Bible, talks about the magic, the darkness, the intense corruption, the intensification of corruption, the intensification of darkness, and the need for the evil to be taken off of the world. John the Revelator is said to be giving us this picture of how evils were going to multiply, thicken. So, how should we see that chapter, the last chapter of the Quran? Instead of reading all that very difficult language to deal with, just say, I seek refuge with the Lord of the daybreak, and read it to the end. That's all you need to escape all that darkness and all that corruption that's going to be plaguing the very nature of the man in his life that God made. That's what it means by seven. Seven means it's going to affect his very nature that God made in his constitution that God gave him. These things are going to come against that, come into it and come against that constitution to break the constitution of the life God created. Seven. And to overcome it, we have only to say, I seek refuge with the Lord of the daybreak from the evil of that which he created, from the harm, and from the harm or evil of the intense darkness, the intensification of darkness and corruption when it comes, and from the evil of the one who worked witchcraft, magic, and cast those suggestions to break the convictions or the firm resolutions of God's servants, and from the harm or evil of the envier when he envies. Who envied? Iblis. He's the father of that too. He envied. When God said, I'm going to make a human being and trust him with himself, that's what God was saying. I'm going to make a human being and trust that human being with his own life. Satan said, I'm better than he. Isn't that what he said? Iblis said, I'm better than he. Isn't that envy? Isn't that an expression of the disease of envy working in him? Yeah. So we who won't fight envy in our own souls, we're aiding the Satan. And if we ain't careful, pretty soon we'll be in his company. So fight the disease, the weakness of envy in your souls. Fight it. Get it out. And seek God's help to keep it out. I was in Damascus, Syria, and this man had a big factory, and he's the boss. And I looked up on his wall behind his desk. Behind him, he had his desk was facing the entrance. But behind him, behind his back, on the wall, the back wall, was this surah. I seek refuge with the Lord of the Dawn. I looked at it, and I told him, I say, that's a very appropriate surah for your office. I say, because of all the business and money you're handling, you're going to have enviers. And he just smiled. I was just agreeing with him in his selection of that chapter. He understood I wasn't teaching him something. I was just telling him, I agree with you. That's the chapter you should have hanging on that wall. So that they come in, they speak Arabic, but hardly ever somebody come in and not speak Arabic. And they look right up there and say, yeah, it's Dr. Fidullah. I came in wrong, but that straightened me. So these verses are for all people. They address the life, problems, concerns, and the need in all people. Not just as individuals, but as members in societies. all societies have had this trouble. All individuals will experience these troubles. All right, so we include Ameen. Now, how's our time?
15 minutes after 2.
How long have we gone so far?
We've gone an hour and 10 minutes.
Okay, so let's go 2 hours. Okay. When we started the session, we said, or when we announced the beginning of the session, we said that we'd be discussing the Quran and the Sunnah of our Prophet. And by Sunnah, we mean the Sunnah of the Prophet. Established upon his uswa. It's universal message and universal mission. There's expression in the Bible and also in the Quran. God says, Allah says, that the responsibility, the burden of responsibility for publishing his word is not something God leaves to any of his creatures. Both books, if we understand it, says God will publish his word himself. And, you know, Allah doesn't want us to think, to make the mistake of thinking that we can bring converts to God. So you can only inform them. It is God who puts faith into their hearts. God. Yeah. You can't make anybody believe, no matter how ardently you work at it. You cannot make anybody believe in God. That's what God wants us to know. So don't present our reasoning to bring someone to be a convert, but try to give them a better and better picture of their God, our God. And when they see the God right, they will come, they will believe. It'll be God that brought them to faith, not us. So first we'll be looking at the concept of Tawheed with reference to the wholeness of matter or creation. God says in the Holy Book, his book, did they not see that the creation was one continuous whole before it was separated, sky and earth? You know, the belief on this earth was that the earth was the center of the universe. And astronomers who studied it objectively as they possibly could, they finally concluded that it's not the center at all. But in the small family we belong to, the family of the sun, if anything, the sun is the center, because all the other bodies are rotating around the sun, are evolving around the sun, going around the sun. And some other ideas or myths believe that this was really an alienated body beyond the bodies of the heavens, and this is the black hole, the black planet, the alienated one, the one in trouble. Then finally they gave that description to Pluto. This is so far out. But mind you, when you're studying that astronomy, too, there's some Pluto in all earthlings. Yeah, all earthlings. There's some Pluto. Yes. So Tawheed is a term for the unity of matter and the unity and consistency of God's creation. Now, that points us to His unity, His consistency, His uniqueness as creator of all of that. So it's through the study of what He did that we can be guided or led to what He is. And you know, if you say, mother, say, what does the meaning of a mother? The female parent. That's a quick answer, right? The female parent. But before you really know what a mother is, you have to know a mother's history. Is that not right? You have to know a mother's history. What has been her performance in that role? Then we truly see her. We truly know the meaning of mother. So to know the meaning of God, we have to know God in God's performance, in the role of God. God, how has God performed in the role of God? When we know that, then we truly got the picture of God. We truly know God. We see the true picture, the whole picture. We know God. The meaning is full now. The meaning is complete now. And what takes us to that conclusion is the study of what He did. And men have been guided by their nature, by the nature of their intellects. They have been guided in the nature of their souls. They have been guided to come to the conclusion that this world couldn't have made itself. That a God did this. And if God did it, now let's study His works and see what His works tells us of Him. So God gives the servant the help. Say, why don't they see? How come they can't see that this scheme of matter was once a consistent whole before it was separated, earth and sky, spiritual and material? So this is a hint, hinting to the thinkers, the men of Ulul Albab. The men of the first logic, the first reasoning, the first rules of logic and reasoning, the Ulul Albab, possessors of the door, the door to the knowledge. Ulul Albab, they're the first possessors of the door to the knowledge. So this is a hint to them that God is going to stop this separation in man's life. Where he thinks he's spiritual in one side and material in the other side, and the two sides are in conflict. No, God made the world in agreement, made it in peace, made it to have a harmonious relationship, harmonious relationships for its different parts, its different sections, its different systems. Like a great symphony. The spiritual life is a part of that great symphony. The material life is a part of that great symphony. All parts of our life are in that great symphony. That's left. God played music, man. Not cacophony. Beautiful music. So God is saying that I am one. And my creation is a whole and a consistent whole, a harmonious whole. Discord is in your own mind. The cause of ignorance. Tawheed. So this is a message that must go to the world, the whole world. If this message goes to the world, it's like a body that's been afflicted with disease, and then the medicine comes to that body to defeat the disease in that body. The sores start going away. The balls of racism disappear. We become a healthy humanity. Yes. A healthy humanity. So this is the medicine. Didn't he say it's the medicine? Say, in it is medicine for what ails you, for what ails his humanity, mankind. The prophet's Uswa now, the prophet's Uswa. It is also food for all people. His Uswa is the food of life. For all people. Because as a model, he's not only there for us to emulate, but he's there for us to find peace in that model. Knowing that God has given all of us the Uswa of Muhammad in our inherent nature. He created all of us that, from Adam to us. All of us have been created to have that Uswa. Will God give us a model to emulate if we didn't already have the power, the capacity to emulate that? That's why it says he's a man, a mortal, flesh and blood person, just like you. He's not something different. He's just like you. If you think him to be so superior, it's because God has shown mercy to him. And God has rewarded his struggle to keep himself from being defiled for 40 years, successfully. God rewarded that struggle of his with the guidance and established him as a model for all the other people. Not just for Muslims, for all people. I keep repeating that to you because it's very important that we know that. He's not just a model for Muslims. He's a model for all people according to the words of God who believe in God and the last day. And God says to him, they will find, certainly you will find in him an excellent model, Uswa Hasana. You will find in him an excellent model for any who believe in God in the last day. That means they believe in God and also conform, behave. Their behavior is a testimony. Their behavior is a testimony that they believe in God. Because if you don't live, with the consciousness or awareness that you are accountable to that God, then your life is a contradiction. But if you live with awareness that you are accountable to that God, then your belief and your life is agreeing. Now, we won't take individuals because we know in American society they're saintly individuals. They're very beautiful, shining examples for mankind. But as a society, this society is a terrible contradiction. Here it says it believes in God, but it has all the creations of the devil, all the temptations of the Satan, all around us. Drugs, liquors, narcotics, crime, shameless behavior, gambling, all kind of deceits, is filled with the invitations to follow Satan. So the society itself
is not a testimony to the faith of the people that make up this society. That's why some churches, they get together and they use their voting power to vote a certain area alcohol free. So that little area will be a clean testimony, won't it? Yes. Churches and no alcohol. And they don't want gambling in there either. Keep out gambling, keep out alcohol. And God says of the two that they are the works of the devil. They stay away from them because they are the works of the devil. Alcohol and gambling. Or we could say drugs and gambling. Go to covers it all now. Drugs and gambling are the works of the Satan, the devil. They stay away from it if you expect to be guided. Or you expect to be successful in life. The prophet's uswa. The prophet's uswa refers to something inherent. This is something inherent. It's not something that he achieved by study or by practice. It's something he was born with. It's uswa. And his uswa is the uswa that God gave Adam and all people. But the devil, the Satan, seduced us out of our form. The uswa. You know, siwa? Uswa comes from siwa. Siwa means level, plain, level, perfectly balanced, level. This is siwa. This is siwa. And siwa has reference to a vertical, a perpendicular. So it is squared, level, balanced with the perpendicular. You see, like this. It's a T. This is siwa. All points are in balance. I don't know if that's in balance, what I got there. Pretty well balanced. My perception is pretty good. There's a siwa. You see what? And what is that? That's T, right? What is it also? Who said? Cross. It's a cross. That's what it is, the cross. Cross is a universal symbol. Don't be afraid of it. Let Dracula be afraid of it. Don't you be afraid of it. Not that we're going to adopt the Christian cross. No, we don't adopt it. When you put it into a physical thing and make it a part of religion, it could become a shirk. Yeah. So we don't accept it the way that Christianity accepts it. But we should understand the meaning of it. And that's why all these things are given to us in Islam. To show us really what the cross is. Would Jesus say, take up my cross? If it was something bad? And if it was something bad, then the Quran would say, Jesus never told you to take up a cross. That's not in the Quran. It says he never told you to take up celibacy. That's in the Quran. So if the cross was a great evil that they charged Jesus with saying, then why didn't say it? And God never ordered you to Jesus to tell you to take up no cross. And Jesus never said to you, take up his cross. It's a mystery that's better left alone until the people can see their own mistakes. So here the subtle knowledge comes, the wisdom comes, very quietly and subtly, the uswa of Muhammad. And the uswa of the created world itself, saying he put everything in a balance, right? Khalaqa fasawwa. And he made the seven heavens. Firm, plain, right? Firm graduations, the seven heavens. So every graduation or every sky is really has a reference to Siwa. Khalaqa fasawa fawa. It has a reference to Siwa. There are laws and regulations that keep everything in the balance, order and balance that the Creator intended for it. So actually every level from Adam to Abraham on every level is the cross. And the cross is the person himself. On the second level, two crosses. A double cross. Yeah? And that's what the world did, right? The world take what the meaning, the science that is in Jesus Christ and in John, and use that science to double cross us. Yes. Yeah. Either giving us to one other extreme. You're all positive and can't see the don'ts. You see all the do's and no don'ts. Jesus Christ is do's. John is don'ts. You see all the do's and no don'ts? Or you see all the don'ts and no do's? Or you confuse the two of them and double cross? They're getting double crossed. So we have two sides to our own nature in our own life, don't we? Yes, two sides to our own life. You have the spiritual side and the rational side, or the spiritual side, the emotional side, and the rational side. You have these two sides to your life. If the Satan worked through these two bodies of yours, or these two aspects of your own life and nature, he can turn them against you and turn you against them, where you are not getting the proper use of your life, not relating properly to your own life. And that would be a double cross. But actually, the cross is a human being. And it's not the first, this the Quran, they're not the first to do that. Go all the way back to Egypt. Quran takes it back to Egypt. And Pharaoh said, if you disobey me, I will cut your limbs off on the opposite side, or crucify you, put you upon the cross. I've been over there. I've studied their symbolism, and they have a figure they call the heavenly cow. And on this figure, a lot of crosses. Now this existed before Christianity, maybe even before Judaism. Who knows? This is ancient, very ancient. They have a cow they call the heavenly cow. And on that cow are nothing but a picture of a cross. You can go see it for yourself if you like. If you find it that interesting and you want to have it verified, you can go there. You can go to Egypt. Go to Egypt and see it for yourself. Go to the pyramids of Egypt and you will see the picture of the heavenly cow. And you'll see the crosses all over it. No, I do that. Just look in the dictionary. I mean in the encyclopedia.